If you don't know what to get your significant other for that special occasion, then head over to giftingnap.com. The team at Gifting Map has curated an amazing collection of great gifts for that special guy or girl in your life. Visit giftingnap.com today. Straight Heat continues now on SB Nation Radio. Time to break down the latest from college football with Spencer Hall of SB Nation. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's Patrick Creighton.
Because every day should be Saturday, that is where you will find Spencer Hall covering college football at SB Nation. What's up, Spencer?
Hey, how you doing?
So before we get started here, pimp the podcast.
Oh, yeah, we've got It Seems Smart, new podcast that's about people cheating badly in sports, or maybe cheating brilliantly, but also kind of stupidly at the same time. We've got an episode dropped this week that I believe is going to be about the infamous Cannonball Run. So, little sneak there, sneak peek.
Very cool. All right, Spencer, let's get into a couple of things here. Number one, the top quarterback maybe coming out in this year's class in the concussion protocol.
Yeah. Which I'm glad we have one now. This gave me eerie flashbacks to Tim Tebow being concussed against Kentucky in 2009, if you'll remember, visibly disoriented on the field, vomiting, clearly not at his best, and was put back in the game. So I'm glad we have one now. I do think this is something that will come back time and time again in college football, which is that we're going to have to do that more seriously and take it more seriously. And this is in large part because the NFL, I know the NFL has a concussion protocol, but players continually lie to get around that. I'm interested in the challenge of getting around that at the college level, because it's certainly the pressure to do that right is not going to come from college or come from the NFL, right? We'll have to do it ourselves, in other words.
And, you know, with Justin Herbert being in the concussion protocol, the Oregon quarterback, depending on how serious that is, do you consider that something that becomes a concern on draft day if a quarterback's coming off a season where he's had, say, a major concussion or maybe multiple concussions?
No, because everybody's had them. And that's a really horrifying thing to say, because Justin Herbert is an exceptional player, and a concussion's a very serious thing. But if you're playing football at the major level, if you're playing in a Power 5 school like Herbert is, then you have had one, and you've probably had multiples, and you've probably had a few that you did your best to hide because you didn't want to come off the field. And there is pressure to keep them in, but also understand players have the pressure of losing their spots. And I don't think that's a concern, because I think it's a concern for everybody, so therefore it's a concern for nobody in the draft, which is terrifying, right? We've had linemen just quit, right? But I've never seen a quarterback just say, nah, that's it. My brain's too precious, right? It's certainly something to keep an eye on, but for scouts, it's not, because honestly, I don't think NFL draft scouts are all that concerned with the well-being or welfare of who they're drafting. They just want to make sure they're functional.
All right. How did Herm Edwards get Chad Johnson's kid to commit?
Well, in term, I imagine it involved a really intense and maybe not really lucid 18-minute to 22-minute diatribe about doing things the right way, because I think that's just how Herm tries to recruit everybody. Whatever Herm's doing, it's not terrible, right? It's they're not blowing doors out. But remember, a loss by USC to Arizona State, always a big political event in Southern Cal. So I don't know how he got him to commit. I assume it's like everybody else. And also that, like every other Arizona State coach, Herm Edwards might be different in a lot of ways, but he's shaking things up in the USC Trojans hierarchy, and that's a tradition in Tempe.
That's awesome. That's Spencer Hall with us on the BetDSI.com Inside Line, covering college football for SB Nation at Every Day. Should be Saturday. All right, Spencer, is there a guy in Oklahoma, in Lincoln Riley, who's about to turn coaches getting fired in Cleveland into a better payday?
I hope not. That's a coach killer. That's a bank account padding, but job ruining life choice to become the head coach of the Cleveland Browns. At one point, you have to realize the problem is the management. This is true at the college and the pro level, because there are certain jobs with certain managers and certain owners and or boosters that continually ruin people's careers and lives. There's a pattern. It's not like good coaches haven't gone to the Washington National Football League's team, right? They've done that. People have signed up to work for Dan Snyder. Good ones, bad ones, indifferent ones. They've all had the same result, mediocrity. People who work for Jimmy Haslam at any level. Remember, Haslam is influential in two major football brands, the Browns and the Vols, and neither one successful under his management. And it doesn't matter if one and the other one, Haslam has to be okay with it, because he's never going to see a profit out of the University of Tennessee football program, right? But the results have been the same. They've been uniformly bad. So Lincoln Riley, this was a valid point that Dan Wolken brought up today, a writer for USA Today. He's like, NFL jobs come open. There aren't many Oklahomas. There really aren't that many sort of big brand jobs, especially ones where he's got a lot of credit and he's already had a lot of success. So unless that's an itch he really, really wants to scratch and then come back in, 5 years, maybe 4 or 5 years, and come back in college, because that's usually what happens, But I'm different. I don't know if Lincoln Riley thinks he's that different, and I don't know if he's unhappy in Norman. My guess is no. He seems pretty secure, so I think he's going to stay put. Hugh Jackson, though, keep an eye. There's always rumors that Hugh Jackson will end up at USC every time that job comes up. Dead serious.
That is mad. How does Hugh Jackson and SC, why would they want him?
You know what? I can't get inside their heads, so let's talk about what we want. Do you want to see Hugh Jackson at USC? Oh, I do. I'm a fan of like miserable comedy. I want to see this happen. I'm all for the farce, because Hugh Jackson, here's the funny thing. He might be bad. He really might be a bad college coach. But what if Hugh Jackson is an incredible college coach who's just been in the wrong slot? Like, think about it. He's been described as, one of the players in Cleveland described him as being like Michael Scott from The Office. Don't you kind of want to see that? Because guess what? I don't think being terribly bright is necessarily a prerequisite for success at the college level sometimes, especially when you can just recruit in L.A. like USC does.
You want to watch the Coliseum burn, don't you?
Either this, or I want to see somebody who everybody believes will be a failure succeed spectacularly because he can recruit and because he lets everyone else do the work. If that sounds familiar, there's two or three coaches right now in college football who are doing real well who fit that profile.
One of them might be at Arizona State.
Who knows? I mean, that's the thing. You go, yeah, this really shouldn't work, right? But also consider this, a sort of under-the-radar assistant hired, a tight ends coach, Jared Clemson, 7 years ago at this point, 8 years ago, I believe it's 7. Anyway, nobody thought that would work. But you know what Dabo Swinney did? He recruited his butt off, and he said, guys, you're the coaches and coordinators. You do what you're going to do. I'm going to get them in the door, and we'll get people to write checks. And they're one of the 3 best teams in college football, if not top 2 right now. So I'm not saying this plan hasn't worked before, and I'm not saying that it might not be a workable idea for USC. It's a terrible idea. Don't listen to me.
Spencer Hall, Every Day Should Be Saturday, covering college football for SB Nation. Spencer, this week we've got some good matchups this week. Bama and LSU. LSU is like the biggest home dog they've been in like forever. Do they have any chance of hanging with Alabama?
They do not. And that's because Alabama can stretch it 2 ways now. They can put up 50 to 60 points on you. And in addition to that, they're going to keep you anywhere between 10 and 20 points generally defensively. That's a real hard sell, especially for LSU, who does not really have a quarterback or a clear offensive option to really strain that Alabama defense. If they get any sort of points, it'll probably come off turnovers, and Alabama's been pretty shy with those. So you really have to just sort of, this is a 1 to 2 percenter, right? You got to hope that this is a 1 to 2% of games where Alabama hands over 4 turnovers and where they have a couple of busted coverages, or you get one guy they can't cover, and then you just hope that over 4 quarters, the math continues to not work out the way it should, because the way the math should work out, it's like a 99-1 shot that you beat this team. They're one of the best that I've ever seen, maybe the most dominant I've seen since 1995 Nebraska, or those turn of the century Miami Canes teams. So I don't think LSU stands a chance. Joe Burrow says they're not afraid of this game, and that's good, because I think being afraid and beaten up at the same time would be very, very unpleasant. Pick one.
Curling up into the fetal position as the game goes on.
Just accept it. Just, right? Just be the emotional piece if you're going to be physically disturbed at the same time.
Just let it happen.
Yeah.
Penn State takes on Michigan. That's 5-14. Big Ten matchup here. How do you see that going on? Is Penn State good enough to hang with Michigan? Is Michigan the best team in the Big Ten?
Michigan is right now the best team in the Big Ten, and that's because it is a team game. They're not the prettiest team, which is, again, I think, fine for the Big Ten, especially this year when you have Ohio State, a really spectacular-looking team at times in terms of talent, but can't really put it all together without making, you know, big mistakes or getting all three phases at once. Michigan's been very, very consistent. So, you know, if you have, like, one game to win a team, or, you know, one team to win one game, it's tempting to pick Ohio State. If I had to win 5 games in a row, you'd pick Michigan, because they've had steady rushing. They've been great on the ground. Their defense has been impeccable. And at times, Shea Patterson has shown himself capable of occasionally stretching the field, making a few plays with his feet, and being unpredictable enough to keep them solid. Special teams have been great, too. They're just a very well-rounded team for what they are, and they manage everything and all they manage their shortcomings, right? We always talk about, you know, okay, well, what shortcomings does this team have, and how do they manage them? They've managed it a lot better than Penn State has, and Penn State has been, at times, just volatile, and I mean volatile in both directions. They gave up 2 safeties to Iowa. 2. That's not good ball security or protection. Trace McSorley has at times looked harried. I just see Michigan as being a much more consistent, buildable bank as a team than Penn State. And if they can keep that up, then Michigan's going to do a lot better than 4th in their division, or 3rd, which are Harbaugh's 2 best finishes so far as a head coach.
He's Spencer Hall. Every day should be Saturday, covering college football with SB Nation, with us on the BetDSI.com Inside Line. You can follow him on Twitter at EdsBS, at EDSBS. Every day should be Saturday, EDSBS. Spencer, always appreciate your time, buddy. Love talking college football with you, buddy. We'll talk soon.
All right, thanks.
Spencer Hall, every day should be Saturday, SB Nation. Our guest lines are sponsored by BetDSI.com. Use promo code WIN125. Get a 125% bonus on your initial deposit when you sign up with BetDSI.com.